You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life, so tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Last week I preached on the tithe, and this week we are preaching about stewardship. So if you're taking notes, top of the page, the title of today's message is 90% Blessed, Stewarding the Rest. 90% Blessed, Stewarding the Rest. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about the Winter Olympics that are on recently, I can't help but think about and see some pretty inspirational people. Like, you watch that guy who's doing the alpine ski and he's running uphill in skis faster than I could run a mile. It's inspirational, isn't it? Then you've got the curling teams. Now, I have no idea how you get into curling, how you find out that that's your thing. I have no idea. Same with the bobsleigh. Are you like in a Tesco's trolley and you go down a hill and you can control it and you find out that that's your thing in life? They're inspirational people. Inspirational people surround us all the time. If you go to the Sistine Chapel, painted by Michelangelo in the Vatican City in the 16th century, you look up and you literally think that AI has created this thing or that it's been printed off and stuck on the ceiling. You can't help but be inspired by the artwork and the skill on the ceiling. Inspirational people surround us all the time. In fact, Minty in the front row, jump up, Minty, give us a wave. Minty is a creative genius. She really is. Minty, how old are you?
17.
She's 17 and she's been to the Netflix Center in London. She's gotten nationally recognized for movies that she creates. She's 17, inspired by her creative genius. We think about people who aren't just creative but are maybe more articulate. Think of Mark Carney, Canada's prime minister, who a couple weeks ago at the World Economic Forum gave a speech with absolutely no notes that was applauded with a standing ovation. I think one of only three times a standing ovation has ever been given at the World Economic Forum. How he articulated his point and his message was incredible. Then we've people just as articulate like Linda Taverner in the second row. Go on, Linda, give us a stand and a twirl. Hearing how Linda articulates what her and Paul do in Abergele through their community action in the Hive is unbelievable, the difference they're making in North Wales. You get around Linda and Paul, you hear them articulate the vision, and you can't help but be inspired. Inspirational people are all around us all the time. What I've come to know is that these inspirational people don't just wake up and are inspirational by accident. In fact, it all starts with purpose. You don't just wake up and show up into greatness, but with purpose, you can arrive at that destination. I think all of us, if we're honest, we'd love a six-pack body, beach body ready to go for summer, wouldn't we? We'd all love to live lives where our kids are inspired and look up to us and they're proud. We'd all love to live lives that are financially well, whole, strong, with good stewardship. But if we're not intentional and it's accidental, we'll not be purposeful and we'll never arrive into greatness in our life or with our finances. I want to tell you today, the danger is that if we don't tell our money where to go, we're going to spend our lives wondering where it went. Because we're going to end up living our lives with our finances on accident and not on purpose. And my hope for all of you today and my prayer is that all of you would become prosperous. Now, some people got a little bit weird about that word prosperous. So like, what do you mean, Pastor Lee, by prosperous? Is this a prosperity gospel church? It's not that at all. Prosperous means this: having enough to meet the needs of others. That is what being prosperous looks like. Would anybody like to be prosperous in the house today? Having enough so that you could meet the needs of others. And so today I'm believing for you in the next 24 minutes that we're going to go on a journey in our finances where we're going to grow and we're going to try our best to put some practices and principles in place that we together could become prosperous. Are you ready?
Yes.
I said, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, four things you've got to know, understand, and do in order to live on purpose with your finances and become prosperous. The first thing you've got to understand is that I own nothing. You own nothing. Haggai 2 verse 8, God says, he literally says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord Almighty. Everything is God's. He has entrusted it to us as his people to steward, manage, and look after. In fact, we pick up an account in Matthew 25 where a master is entrusting possessions to his servants, and we're going to unpack that a little bit today. The Bible says in verse 14, says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Everything we have, folks, has been entrusted to us by God. In fact, Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, he says these words in 1 Timothy 6, verse 7. He says, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. In fact, if you were to borrow my car, it wouldn't be unreasonable to assume that I'm going to want it back at some point. Danny, your car's in a little bit of a situation right now. Let's put it that way. If Danny was to borrow my car over here, it's right to assume that I'm going to want it back, isn't it? That's not unreasonable because it's not Danny's, it's mine. So because I own nothing, God owns everything. God can ask of me at any time and I've got to give because I own nothing, everything is his. So that's when God prompts us in the queue to pay for someone's shopping or buy a coffee for a stranger or a friend. He prompts us by his Holy Spirit. He can ask of us at any time because it's not mine, it's his. But because it's not mine and it's his, when I run into problems, it's not my responsibility, it's his. So when my car breaks down, I don't say, oh, my car's broken, got to fix it. I say, God, you've got a problem. God, your car is broken. You've got to sort this out. When my iPad's funky and it's breaking and it's not all together, I say, God, your iPad's broken. You've got to fix it. It's not my problem, it's yours. That's really reassuring for married couples, isn't it, when your husband's playing up. God, your child is messed up. He has issues that you need to fix that are beyond my control because it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to God. That's refreshing, isn't it? That all the problems, yes, we've got to be good stewards, financially diligent, that we'll unpack, but they're not my problems, they're God's. Because tithing is the first test of ownership. And when I can trust God with my tithe, I can live 90% blessed because God, I've trusted you with the 10. You said, God, in Malachi 3, test me in this and see if I won't open the floodgates of heaven. So I'm tithing, I'm testing what I trust God. And now the car's your problem, my house is your problem, my kids are your problem. It's refreshing, isn't it? That it's not all up to you, but that God's got a supernatural factor in part to play because I own nothing. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. So if you're in need today, let me tell you, all God has to do is sell a cow. He can get it to you. But my question for all of us today is, can he get it through you? God has no problem getting what you need to you, but I think he's sitting in heaven. He's sitting there watching going, but can I get it through you? First point you got to understand to live 90% blessed is that I own nothing. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, say, I own nothing. I own nothing. The second thing you've got to understand is that every pound has a purpose. Every pound has a purpose. The same story in Matthew 25, verse 15, says, to one, the master gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. So what's taking place right now is intentionality and allocation. The master is giving with intentionality a certain proportion of wealth to different people to steward and entrust because he's expecting that there would be purpose with what he's given because every pound has a purpose. Allocation when it comes to your finances is really important. In fact, as church, every single pound that you give into the life of church is allocated with purpose. That's good news, isn't it? Yeah. Pastor Josh isn't buying more coffees this week. It's to purpose. Coming up on the screens, the breakdown. This is how we allocate because every pound has a purpose. 10% of your giving, we then give away to other churches, church plants, projects, missionaries. 30% is to staff, 20% to program, 20% to venues, 10% to savings, and 10% to administration. Because every pound has a what? Has a purpose. Now, you know your pound no longer has its purpose when it comes to payday in a couple of weeks' time and you've got more month left than you do money. When you're sitting with weeks to go, eagerly awaiting payday because you've got more month left than money. That's how you know your pound has lost its purpose. But you then begin to live in purpose when you tell your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. Do you ever feel like that? You live like that? You look back at your statement and you go, where did everything go? That's because there wasn't a budget. There wasn't a plan. And so the pound has lost its purpose. You begin to live in purpose when you tell your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. You got to have purpose. Purpose demands a plan. So what's your plan? The Bible says this in Luke 12:48. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Purpose demands a plan. And so I want to ask you right now, what's your plan? Married couples especially, I want to ask you, what's your plan? For some reason in society, when it comes to marriage, we split the finances down the middle. You pay for this, I'll pay for this, I'll cover this, you cover this. It makes no sense to me because you're married. It's our house, our kids, our family, our car, our retirement, our plan. It makes no sense to me that you'd split it and you wouldn't be on the same page as a team. Because we've no problem with sharing our kids. We've no problem sharing our house. But when it comes to our finances, why have we got a problem? We've got to be on the same page because the number one reason of divorce is from money fights and money problems. So I actually reckon today, folks, we're going to save some marriages in church because we've started to talk about a plan, getting on the same page with our finances. Now, let me tell you this. Not everybody is a nerd like me. Transparency. Lisandry's more of a free spirit. And in every married couple, you kind of have that person. One's the nerd, one's the free spirit. So the free spirit's in the room. You don't have to sit every week and look at the budget and reconcile it and do the detail, but you've got to know, what's our plan? Where are we giving? Where are we saving? What are we buying? Where is our resources going for the future? Because I think a great shame would be in 30, 20, 10, 50 maybe, if you're really young, years time, you look back on your life and you wonder where your money went instead of telling it where to go. No, you don't need my plan. You don't need Anna's plan. You don't need Roy's plan, but you need a plan. So this is our plan coming up on the screens. Please, you don't have to have this plan. This is just our plan. It's from a podcast called The Ramsey Show. And you'll like this, or maybe you'll think I'm a bit sad. I was in the top 3% of global listeners to this podcast last year. Top 3%. 150 hours I listened to this podcast while driving and on the go. Should I have listened to something else? Probably 9,000 minutes. It was crazy. But I've learned a lot. This is what they call the baby steps from a Christian entrepreneur, businessman, Dave Ramsey. It's American, so please excuse the Americanese. And it's step one, save £1,000 or dollars for an emergency fund. Step two, pay off all debt except the house. Step three, save for 3 to 6 months for emergencies. And then 4, 5, and 6, you do all at the same time. Invest 15% for retirement, save for college, or maybe you're saving in a junior ISA for your kid for a house deposit one day and pay off your house. Then step 7, build wealth and give. You don't have to have my plan, our plan, but you need a plan. So today I want to encourage you, if every pound has purpose, you've got to get a plan. Proverbs 21 verse 20. I love how harsh this translation puts it. It says, stupid people spend their money as fast as they get it. Got to say the B word again in church, budget. You've got to have a budget. Reconcile it, check it, make sure you're on track. If you don't know where to start, audaciouschurch.com/finance. We've got resources, budgets, articles, everything you could need to get going is up there. Are you happy we're talking about this in church? Fantastic. Point three, to live 90% blessed, stewarding the rest, is to save and invest. Save and invest. Matthew 25, we've been reading it so far, verse 20 to 21. The master returns, the man returns, and it says, the man who had received 5 bags of gold brought 5 more. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. I love this return. It's 100% growth. Anyone would like a 100% growth in their house price or in their bank balance? This is a good day for the master. He's given 5 bags of gold and he gets 5 more and the master's pleased because this person, we don't know what they did with it, but we know that they put the money to work and they got a return. When it comes to saving and investing, we've got to have a portion that we're putting to work and expecting a return. Otherwise, without goals, there'll simply be no progress. Now, this stat will wreck your brain, it wrecked mine. From the age of 25 to 65, for 40 years, if you put away £100 a month and you got an average return of 10% a year, after 40 years, you would have over £600,000 when you're 65. I mean, I wish I started earlier with those numbers, right? It's crazy. So the power of compound interest in investing. In fact, Einstein talked about compound interest. He'd called it the 8th wonder of the world. He says, compound interest is the 8th wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it, but he who doesn't pays it. Proverbs 21:20, same verse, different translation, says, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. Let me tell you, I don't know where you are in your finances today. Maybe your journey is to start saving, or you've got a good saving pot and it's investing, or maybe you're trying to get out of debt. I'm believing that whether it's today, tomorrow, or in the future, all of us together are going to be able to save and invest. And when you're at the stage of investing, there's 3 quick things you've got to do from the Bible that'll help you. The first one is make it a priority. Proverbs 24:27 says, develop your business first before building your house. It's talking about purpose before maintenance. The second thing is diversify to multiply. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 2 says, invest in 7 ventures. Yes, in it. For you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. What that looks like, folks, is not putting everything into Bitcoin. Don't know what it's going to do. Might be up 1 week, down the next, and you lose everything. This is about the concept of diversifying where you put your money. Could be in ISAs, mutual funds, index funds, properties, bank accounts, startups, business. The Bible's saying put it in lots of different places. Because if you put it all in Bitcoin, Danny Garrett, you don't know what it's going to do. But if you diversify, then okay, well, if that's down, then this is up and you've spread your risk. You're being sensible and wise. And if it sounds too good to be true, folks, it probably is. Let me tell you, if you get a phone call this week from a far-off land saying you've got an inheritance from a great-great ancestor you've heard nothing about, and if you just send me all your money, we'll be able to release the cash. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. In fact, I love what the Bible says here in Proverbs 13:11. It says, money that comes easily disappears quickly, but money that is gathered little by little will grow. So today, set some savings goals, investing goals, because without goals, there'll be no progress. And together, we can live 90% blessed, stewarding the rest. And the last point is this, face the facts. Face the facts. We've heard about the guy that got 5 bags back, but there's another guy in the story that got the 1 bag, and instead of putting it to work, he got scared and he hid it. In fact, the Bible says this in Matthew 25:25. He's speaking and he says, I was afraid and hid the gold in the ground. Often when you're scared, you're unable to face the facts because you've got fear of the facts. There currently is a spider living rent-free in our house. He's up in the, you know, in the roof, and I refuse to believe that he's there. I hate spiders. Anyone else? Yes, cannot stand them. Zaina said, a couple of days ago, she saw the spider, started talking about him. I'm like, what spider? I don't see a spider anywhere. I can't see it. Stay away. Don't want to know. He's up there doing something. Don't care. Not there. Fear of the facts. But fear of the facts will hold you back. And for some of us, when we're thinking about finances, it's hard to think about saving and investing and giving and being generous because we're just scared of the facts. Comes, you know, we're like, oh, let's see how much is in the bank account. And you feel your body getting tight, don't you? And tensing up. And you're kind of like, you know, one eye closed, one eye open. Oh, that's the figure. Okay, put it away. And then what happens is, you know, oh, it's not a great figure. That I'll just, you know, self-soothe. So to soothe the pain of what the balance says, I'll go and spend more money and buy more things and try and, you know, you're in a cycle. I think for some of us, the breakthrough today is going to come when we just face the facts. Man said, I was afraid and hid the gold. Fear is going to deny today, but I believe faith is going to supply. Let's pick up this account quickly about Abraham, who faced the facts. The Bible says this in Romans 4, verse 18. It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said to him, so shall your offering be. Verse 19. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in faith and give glory to God. Fear will deny, but faith will supply. Today, folks, you just gotta, where are we? Married couples, where are we at financially? Are we in a good place? Are we in debt? Are we doing well? What are our goals? Where are we at? Face the facts. It's only when you face the facts that you begin to make a plan. But don't allow the facts to cause fear to develop in your spirit. Abraham faced the fact that in the natural, his body is as good as dead, but he did not waver according to the promise that God's given him. I'm believing, folks, that my God will meet all of your needs according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. I believe that God is hovering over the earth, ready to bless, ready to pour out provision, ready, searching for those whose hearts are aligned with him in order to strengthen them, Chronicles says. He's ready to get to us, but can he get through us? I'm believing, folks, you can all be prosperous. You might not be able to meet someone's needs today or tomorrow or next year, but if you face the facts, get a plan, apply faith, work at it week in, week out, God brings the God factor. He breathes his life and his blessing on your faithfulness and on your stewardship. I'm believing today that when you know the truth will set you free. John writes in John 8:32, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. 90% blessed, stewarding the rest. Lots of people say, but I'm just not good with money. I'm just not good with money. How can I do this? I'm not good with money. It's not my thing. That's not true. You just didn't take the time to learn. I believe that all of us can become good with our finances, that this isn't just for a select few, because if it was, we wouldn't preach it. If it was for 5% of the room, we wouldn't preach it. It'd be no point. Believing this is for everybody, for an impartation, that you're going to get revelation, an impartation, strength, confidence like never before to make goals and move forward. There is hope today. No matter how behind you might feel, no matter how you might have felt like you've missed the boat, nobody's missed the boat. You're not as behind as you think you are. But today you gotta make a decision. You gotta decide, face the facts, make a plan, and move forward together. So that's been our three-part series on money: generosity, the tithe, and stewardship. I'm believing you're gonna get a breakthrough today. Some people in the room, and you feel stuck, you feel scared, like me with the spider, and maybe you feel a bit cynical. You're like, oh, it's all well for Pastor Lee. It's all well for the church. What about me? I'm believing that God's gonna do something in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, and you're gonna leave this place, not fearsome of what's to come, but full of hope, light. You're gonna go to bed and sleep well for the first time in a long time, not because you have it all together, but you've got new faith and you've got a plan. And we trust the man, and the man's got a plan. So today, as you trust God, he's gonna bring you into your divine purpose. And as you faithfully give, you faithfully walk the journey, he's gonna do something in your day, the Bible says. You wouldn't even believe it if you were told. Believe in that for your house, for your family, and the generations to come, that you would live 90% blessed in Jesus' name. Right across the room, we're gonna sing in a moment. Why don't you jump to your feet? We're gonna, I think, sing the song maybe from the top or from the bridge, whatever. Doesn't really matter, but we're gonna create some space to come before the Lord in his presence, allow him to do some spirit work, mind work, heart work that You've heard the word and now you've got to apply faith. Because let me tell you today, He is the miracle worker. And today you might need a miracle in your finances. I'm going to believe for it in Jesus' name. But right now, before we kick into the song, I'd love to pray for some people in the room who are stuck, scared, or cynical. So right across this place, with every head bowed and eyes closed, if you feel stuck today, I'm going to pray for new momentum. If you feel scared for some new faith, and maybe today you feel a bit cynical, I'm going to pray that the Lord opens up your mind's eye as you trust Him and as you pursue Him. So if that's you, with no one looking around, every head bowed, eyes closed, you want me to pray right now, simply lift your hand to heaven as we pray and join the whole host of people in the first service who said, I need some prayer. Come on, there's people in the room right now. No one's looking around. You're stuck, you're scared, you're cynical. I want to pray God's blessing and His best over you. Hands going up everywhere. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless Him, Lord. Bless every house, every family, every marriage, every place, every job in Jesus' mighty name. Father, right now, I thank You that You are the miracle worker, that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but You've come to give us life and life to the full. So we rebuke right now any feelings or thoughts of condemnation, disappointment for perhaps doing the right thing or the wrong thing. Lord, I pray right now that by Your Spirit, You would bring a new sense of confidence, breakthrough, and faith in this place in Jesus' name. For those that are scared right now, God, we thank You that perfect love casts out all fear. So right now in this moment, we accept Your perfect love for us, who doesn't condemn, who's not ashamed, who's not disappointed. And we stand here as co-heirs with Christ, loved, chosen, anointed, and appointed. And God, for every person that feels cynical about the message that's preached, God, I pray right now, open up the eyes of their heart to help them see how they can go on this journey of following You and honoring You in their finances and going on this adventure of stewardship, tithing, and generosity. We thank You for Your presence that makes all the difference. And right now, God, as we sing, we bring all of these things toward You right now, and we trust You for the breakthrough in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.